I'd like to ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, familiar passage about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, we confess our sins before the Lord, well, hopefully continually, but at church each Sunday, knowing that sin and Satan have waged war against our souls and that we need to race to the cross and look to the Lord for forgiveness and to be able to kind of free our hearts to listen and listen intently to the Word of God. But look at verse chapter 5, verse 16. What can I do this in two parts to do today? Give us two times to confess kind of two different things. But look at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so you see two contrasting lists there. And I think as we head to the retreat this weekend, Scott and Mark are going to teach on what Jerry Bridges calls the respectable sins, which aren't very respectable at all. When you look at this passage, you see that they certainly are kind of laced throughout this list, that this is the way we used to live. These are what are called the works of the flesh, but no longer do we need to go there. So I guess today as we look through these lists, let's think carefully and say, which of that first list in verse 19, 20, 21, which of those am I still struggling with? Maybe that come to mind, the Lord will remind you of those, and you can confess those individually. And then maybe as I have this week, we've maybe not shown those fruit of the Spirit like we should have and could have. And those are available to us. The Lord produces those in us. We can show love. We do have joy. We do have a peace that surpasses all understanding. We can be patient, kind, and good. And so those are things that I would like you to consider as you go before the Lord. And then I want to, after this time of prayer, I want to give you one more, read one more passage and then talk about how this affects the people that we are in day-to-day contact with. So let's go before the Lord with these groups here. Father, thank you for freeing us from the works of the flesh, and instead through your Holy Spirit producing these fruit that we can now show others and that we can live this life in this manner. And so we confess, Father, oftentimes still dipping into that old list and not living through these nine things as we ought. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians. Now, how do others see our life? How are we representing the Lord Jesus and others? I think, again, probably familiar, verse 14, how fragrant are we according to this passage? Verse 14 says, but thanks be to God who is in Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who is in Christ, always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. So through us, Christ spreads fragrance. How aromic are you, right? Is there an aroma that is about us, a fragrance of Christ? It's interesting. He puts it that way. For we are the aroma of Christ. Aromatic, I guess, is be the right word, aromic. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men as sincerity as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. And so it's interesting in this passage, we are not going to, our fragrance, the fragrance of Christ is not going to be taken the same by everybody. By believers, it's always taken as life. The fragrance of Christ is going to be very attractive and very appealing to every believer. There's no doubt about that. But to the unbeliever, oftentimes here, to one, a fragrance from death to death. Now, I think it's important, though, and this is what I'd like to go before the Lord with in confession. I think it's important that we're not trying to be the smell of death to unbelievers. We do not have to do that on purpose. Like, let's not be, you know, self-righteous or in such a way where they're saying, you know, that smells like death to me. Let the gospel be what does the work in them. And the gospel is offensive. There's no doubt about that, because they see their sin, they feel the condemnation for that, and then the Lord will use that, the Holy Spirit will use that conviction. So is your life fragrant to the degree that others smell the aroma, your aroma, and then know that they need a Savior? That's what this passage is. And so I would like you to, on purpose, think of one unbeliever that you're around. One unbeliever. And ask the Lord, maybe confess that the aroma hasn't always been as Christ-like as it could have been. And pray for that one unbeliever that God would use that fragrance to draw them to Himself. Let's take a minute and pray for that. Gracious Father, we read this passage and we see what a great responsibility that we are ambassadors of Christ, and that we are to spread the fragrance of Christ everywhere, the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control to all who see us, that they may see our good works and bring glory to you in heaven. And so, Lord, we would confess that oftentimes we maybe haven't spread that fragrance of Christ, and other times we have even spread more of a fragrance of sin, of hypocrisy. And so, Lord, we are grateful for your forgiveness. Thank you for washing even those sins as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, Father, for when we have not redeemed the time, where we have wasted an opportunity to spread this fragrance, that you have forgiven us for the sin of omission. And, Lord, thank you that you now give us another opportunity to live this life in a manner worthy of the gospel. And so thank you, Lord, for no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name.